couple of seconds to get some chewing together, I'll give you some rock and roll. All right!
Thank you. Hallelujah. We got a couple of songs from the new album. We're going to give you some songs from the Sudan Man in Japan, the whole works. It's all rock and roll for you. Here we go. A song off the new album. This is a song about a lady who sells herself for money. Woo! A street walker, no less. Here's a song, a rock and roll song, called Lady Luck! off with something on before me, another carriage comes out. See all the pubic hairs then. We got a rock and roll song for ya. Here's a song with Slim and Tommy wrote. It's a song. A song called Get It Tighter. Hope you like it. We're gonna do another from Machine Head. It's now been recorded in Switzerland about 3.5 years ago. This one was a single for us. You all know this one. What is everybody having a good time? Alright!
Yeah. Tommy Bowden. That's my brother, Tommy Bowden.
We've got a couple of rock and roll songs for you. We've got one song. Got a song from Machine Head called Lazy. God bless you. This is two songs. This is two songs in one. The first song is a song called I Need Love. And doesn't everybody? And this leads into Lazy, which features Mr. John Lord. And Mr. Ian Pace. Woo! The first song is called I Need Love, which leads into Lazy!
Thank you. Mr. John Morland. Woo! Thank you.
Thank you. Now this is the time. Thank you. Thank you.
song.
Hey.
Yeah, this is the song we're gonna do for you when we get some tuning together. This is a song which we're being told by the record company that they put out as a single. It's a song that Glenn and me wrote about 2 years ago. And we decided to put it on the new album. It's a song which I hope you like. It's a song called You Keep On Moving.
Keep on moving.
Stop it!
Oh,
kind to us. You're told to see you again. Until we see you all, God bless. Thank you for being good to us. So come on!
Speaking to Tommy Bolan, Deep Purple's new guitarist, replacing Ritchie Blackmore.
And which telephone just rang?
Hello?
Steve.
Tommy, can you basically tell me how the whole thing started? Who was the first Purple guy that actually approached you to join?
One of the roadies, Nick Bell.
Nick Bell.
David, heard me on Cobham albums and stuff, you know.
Yeah, why not?
And James Gang albums. And they were looking all over the East Coast, New York and Boston and yada yada, you know, I guess.
Okay, because
and I lived 2 minutes from him in Malibu, in California.
Good one.
It was ridiculous.
All right,
so.
Bye.
And how did he actually approach you?
He just called up and they just said, do you want to jam a bit? And I said, yeah. You know, I wasn't that enthused about being in an English band.
Why?
Because English bands tend to be a bit sterile a lot. You know, I mean, everything is exact. I mean, every time they play, it's the same jokes, the same, you know, it really is. I mean, it's you know, it gets to a point of being really bland. And I just didn't want to, you know, the way I play, I didn't want to be a part of that. So, when I did go down, it was within the first, you know, tune, you know, I knew that they're a very Americanized English band. I mean, they grew up with the same roots as I grew up with, which really amazed me. So, I mean, playing R&B stuff, Sam and Dave, Motown, you know, yada yada.
Were you aware of this before you actually joined the band?
No, I didn't hear the band before I joined it. I heard Smoke on the Water and I heard Highway Star.
Machine Head.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, just those two songs I heard.
Who was it that actually asked you to join after the jam?
The whole band. I mean, they just asked, you know, would you like to, you know. And I said, well, you know. So then I started thinking, well, okay. You know, I started presenting tunes to them, some of my songs, and things went really well. I mean, they accepted the majority of things that I thought would be. I didn't know what vein to really go into. Those two tunes were the only ones I really knew of. You know, so.
Were you aware of this replacement of Ritchie?
Oh yeah, very much so.
The exact opposite.
Legal wise.
it knocked me out on stage last night. You're exactly the opposite of Ritchie is on stage. You're
very
extrovert.
Really?
Ritchie is very introvert.
I didn't.
Stands in the one spot and plays.
He does, really? I'm sorry, I didn't know that. The only time I saw him was a California Jam thing where there was like a, it was a TV thing, there was like a huge flamethrower thing or something like that. Mm-hmm. And somebody loaded it too much and about burnt Richie's britches off. I mean, and you could tell it on TV, you know, it was like, But that's the only time I saw the band.
So. Have you played with such musicians as Glenn and Ian and John before? I mean, what's it like playing with these?
Oh, they're great, musicians? They're great. They're really great. But I mean, there's thousands and thousands of great musicians, you know. I mean, like everywhere. I mean, in every little city, you know. There's in every city probably in the world. There's one great musician, you know, at mm-hmm. least. Mm-hmm. Playing with Michael Walden and Billy Cobham, and as far as Alphonse Mouzon, as far as drummers go, and Ayerto and Rafael Cruz, and you know.
What about the James Gang? Why did you actually leave them?
It was like a very boring thing on stage for me. I'd be really getting into it, you know, and I'd turn around and look at the drummer, and he'd be like snoring, you know. He collected license plates, you know, it was, so he'd be, you know, wondering, he had a huge catalog of people to call in every town, so he'd be thumbing through it during my solo, you know, it was really stupid.
Would you say you're 100% happy with your position in Deep Purple?
Oh, yeah, because it's like, for one, I'm able to do my own albums, and second of all, I'm able to tour with Purple, you know.
Would you be touring solo yourself?
Yeah, with Michael Walden, Dave Sanborn, possibly Jan Hammer, Stanley Shelton on bass. And that'll probably happen just in the States, uh-huh. At least for the first album.
Will this affect Deep Purple's touring?
Probably to a certain extent, you know, but when I entered the band, it was like a give-and-take situation, so, you know, I have to accept a certain thing, and they have to accept a certain thing, and so far, everybody's happy, you know.
You have a new album out now called Teaser.
Teaser.
Yeah.
Which is doing unbelievable in the States, you know.
How is it musically compared to a Purple album?
To a Purple album, it's, well, there's some Purple type material on it. We do like for instance on stage we do Wild Dogs.
Fantastic, it was too.
And we're going to do a Homeward Strut, which is an instrumental live in the States and Europe and Germany. So that'll be the next tour coming up. But you know, they really love the album, you know, which is really satisfies myself, you know.
The tracks that are on the album, were they written in a short time? Have you just got them
on mine
now, or on your new album, Teaser?
On mine.
Have they been around?
No, my album and also Come Taste the Band were written over a span of like 4 years, you know. Some, like Dreamer, I've done for like the last 4 years. Uh-huh. On Come Taste the Band, Lady Luck, I've done for like the last 4 years, you know. So it's been, some of the tunes are, I mean, it's good to play with, I mean, in a new environment with new people, because it brings a certain life out of a tune.
How do you find writing with David?
Writing with David is great, and also with Glenn. Mm-hmm. I'll probably be writing a lot more with Glenn on the next one.
Getting Tighter, I think, was one of the great tracks on the
album. Yeah, I love that. I love that song.
It goes down well on stage.
That's like my favorite one.
How did you actually get about to writing that track?
I wrote that at one of the rehearsals. I just thought, oh man, you know, they would probably enjoy, you know, because I was starting to feel them out, you know, and they were starting to feel me out, and it was like, you know, like I say, a give and take situation, even musically. And um, I just kind of presented, with all the tunes mostly, I just presented the music.
A riff
or whatever. And, like, you know, I would construct the tune around it, and David would take it from there, and do the lyrics, or Glenn would do the lyrics, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Coming Home, I was surprised you don't do that on stage.
It's very
ballsy rock-alike.
Yeah, it is. That's a weird tune to explain. The way I wrote that was, Ian started a beat. He goes, we should have something with this sort of beat.
Mm-hmm.
So we went in the studio, just the two of us,
mm-hmm.
in Munich. And he started a beat, and I just started making up these chords. And, you know, we built the whole riff around that. So the tune took like 10 minutes to write, you know.
There's a very fast guitar solo in the center.
Yeah, it was mainly kind of constructed to present myself to, you know. I mean, it's the longest guitar solo on the album,
mm-hmm.
and it's very bitey guitar solo.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very fun thing to do, you know. It was very easy and it was very fun. And then David wrote the lyrics over it.
Some interesting comments that Ritchie Blackmore made before he left Deep Purple was he was very worried about the new style of the band, the funky soul feel that they were getting into.
Yeah.
In Stormbringer. Well, I noticed as soon as Ritchie's left, you'd expect Purple to go into this funky soul thing, but as in actual fact, it is now heavier. And I think gussier than any album they've done since about Machine Head.
Well, Ritchie, I mean, like, Ritchie really, you know, he's come and listened to the band, you know, and stuff. And he's really, he really likes it a lot, you know, which makes me happy.
Tracks like Dealer.
Yeah,
did
right.
You write that with David?
Yeah.
That's a very heavy track.
Yeah, well, that was like a tune that... that I had lyrics for previously, that we put down the music track in Munich, and then we, you know, then like in Munich, the situation was the studio was in the basement of the hotel,
mm-hmm.
which was a very comfortable situation because you'd find, okay, if somebody had to do an overdub, you know, somebody, you know, the rest of the band could just go upstairs and, you know, do what they had to do. And so in that tune, like David, we did the tune. He wrote lyrics around it which he thought would be much more suitable for the band, I think, which they were. And I think we'll probably start doing that live, I hope, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
I do like that tune a lot.
Where was your first tour with Purple?
We started in Hawaii, then went to New Zealand, then here, then we go to Indonesia, then we go to Japan, then we take Christmas off, then we go to America, England, and Germany.
How has the reception been to the band so far?
Oh, unbelievable. It's like here, it's like the acoustics of the hall are so strange, you know. It's
yeah.
like, it's set up really weird, you know. So it's, and we've had like 3 days off, you know. So in that time span, you tend to get a bit rusty, you know. But tonight I'm sure will be much better, you know.
Tommy, Deep Purple reached a very high point with Machine Head. Since then, they've lost a little of their popularity. Are you aiming to get this back? And do you think you'll succeed?
Yeah, well, that's what, like, people even in the group say, you know. They were kind of in a slump because I think of the situation with Ritchie being, from what I gather, like, don't even come on my side of the stage routine, you know, which is really a lot of...
And you're the opposite. You run from one side to the other.
Well, I always have. Even, you know, I mean, a band is a band. You know, I mean, if you're going to go out solo, you go out solo. But if you're in a band, you're in a band, and you shouldn't alienate one from the other.
I noticed a funny thing last night when you accidentally tripped David. How did it happen?
The floor covering, the floor covering in this place is like linoleum.
They had to build an extra part of the stage.
Right.
The extra part of the stage was covered in linoleum.
Mm-hmm.
And Richie just couldn't, Tommy just couldn't get a...
Yeah, it was like ice skating, you know, I mean, constant ice skating across the stage, you know. Yeah. I'd slide over here and I'd slide over there.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I slid and he, you know, and my right foot went out a bit too far, and he was walking backwards at the time, and the lights went down because it was the end of the tune, and when the lights came up, he was lying on his back.
And he split his pants.
And he's... Well, he's going to die anyway.
How do you find the personality of the guys in the band? Do you get on very well with all of them?
Yes, very well with all of them. Mainly Glenn and John. I mean, we're very close, you know. Ian and David like have their ladies with them, so they just, you know. Like after a gig, when you go out with the boys, you know, they're content with, you know, like staying home with their ladies, so it doesn't get as personal, you know. But well, actually, last night, maybe, I mean, it was a bit strange. I mean, we got a bit too loose, and Glenn started throwing his chopsticks around.
What's it like playing in stadiums like Festival Hall, Australian stadiums in general, compared to overseas stadiums?
Like in America, like in the James Gang and you know, in previous groups, we played in like baseball fields and things like that that hold like 60,000 people, you know. So
you get a bit of vibe out of that.
Yeah, I mean it's very intense. Standing in front of that many people. I think Australia is more personal. And New Zealand also. Hawaii was I think a bit bigger type situation.
Mm-hmm.
But in general it's fun. I mean, like when the fun stops, you might as well just stop everything, you know.
Yeah, true. Have you had a chance to listen to any Australian bands since you've been here?
Yeah, I have, and New Zealand bands. And there's a couple that I think are really, really. One is Stylus.
Stylus, yeah.
They I heard a single or something by them. Which was the singer is really good. New Zealand. I can't remember the name of the band, but they're
Split Ends.
No. They're just playing a club there that I went every night.
No.
We were there for like 5 days, so I went to this club every night and played, and it was great because it was a situation where I met these chicks that were like backup singers, you know.
Yeah.
And they were like really good, really, really good. And it was neat because like the last 2-3 days, like people would come at a certain time knowing that I would be playing, you know, and you know, we'd be and John Lord would be playing, you know.
Yeah.
And it was a very small, intimate, private club, and it was a lot of fun.
Besides the music, Tommy, have you got any other outside interests, hobbies?
Tennis. I play tennis. I just mainly just
music.
Music and drinking and burning and looting.
Good. Tommy, just before you go, can you talk about a few tracks off your own album? Teaser.
Off a teaser, yeah.
Which ones do you like or you're happy
with? Well, in general, I seriously, it sounds stupid to say. I really love the whole album. I'm very proud of the whole album. It's doing tremendously in the States. Far beyond which I thought it would do, you know. Okay. I love, like, Lotus, Homeward Strut, Marching Powder, Dreamer, you know. Those four, I think, are probably my favorites, and Wild Dogs.
Would you like to lead us into a track, if you could say for us, this is Tommy Bolan for 7HO, and I'd like to play a track off my new album.
This is Tommy Bolan for 7HO, and I'd like to do one of my favorite tracks off of one of my favorite albums.
And what track's that?
That track would be
Homeward Strut.
Fantastic. Just before you go, I wonder if you could also say this is Tommy Bolan for 7BK.
Tommy Bolan of Deep Purple for 4BK.
Right.
This is Tommy Bolan of Deep Purple from 4BK. Saying hello, goodbye, and if I don't see in the future, I'll see in the past.
Thanks a lot, Tommy, and I wish you the best of luck on your, the rest of your Australian tour and for the rest of the world.
And thank you, and the bell has just rung.
Thanks a lot, Tommy.
Yeah.